Most of you know full well that over the last 3 weeks we've been talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We talked on week one about restricting the Spirit, and we realize that it's our own self that restricts the power of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about embracing the power of the Holy Spirit. And how, like Peter, it's a brand new day when we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And today we're going to talk about unleashing the Spirit, and we're going to see yet another New Testament character called Stephen, who allowed the Holy Spirit not just to take up residence in his life, but to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, let me start with this. Two questions. Do you desire more of the Holy Spirit's filling? If you can't answer that immediately, I want you to ponder that. Matter of fact, I want you to ponder it throughout the service and throughout the day. Do I desire more of the Holy Spirit of God? Do I desire more of His filling? And the other question I want us to think about for a moment this morning, are we currently experiencing evidences of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, we could start very simply from Galatians 5 by referring to the fruits of the Spirit. Do the fruits of the Spirit, are they manifesting themselves in your life? What are the fruits of the Spirit, you say, Jim? Well, it starts with love, joy, and peace. Do the fruits of the Spirit manifest themselves in your everyday living? It goes on from there. There's a lot more. Love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and meekness, and self-control. Are there evidences of the Holy Spirit of God in you in everyday living? I'm not talking about an hour on Sunday morning. Yeah, it's pretty easy to be peaceful and loving and somewhat patient even on Sunday mornings. But I'm talking about, has the Holy Spirit of God taken up residence in you so that you are, as Paul said, that new creation in Christ? I want you to think about those questions. Number one, do I desire more of the Holy Spirit's filling, and are there any evidences of the Holy Spirit in my life? Because brothers and sisters, I have been talking about the Spirit for the last couple of weeks. Next week we're going to talk about going against the Spirit. But as we've been talking about the Spirit, I'm here to tell you again for the third week in a row, the Holy Spirit of God wants to take up residence in you and you become radically transformed because you are filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God wants to take up residence in the church, but so oftentimes we're saying, just take it, we'll just take it from here, God. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit of God wants to unleash the power of the living God in you. It isn't just for pastors, preachers, priests, or prophets. The Holy Spirit of God is available to you having trusted Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus will tell us in John 14, is not for the world. They don't know what it is. Why? Because they have never been born again. They have never come in connection with the Son of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so, friends, I'm just challenging us again. The Holy Spirit of God wants to change us, wants to move in the church, wants to unleash the power that is available to the church of God. That's not a denominational thing. That's people that have been born again. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you in everyday living. And so I'm going to give us a biblical example today. There's a fair amount of reading here, but it takes a little reading to get the foundation. And so I am going to ask us to turn to Acts chapter 6, and we are going to read about an ordinary man. He's an ordinary man just like you're an ordinary person, but this became a very extraordinary man because he allowed the unleashing of the Holy Spirit of God in his life, and he became a very extraordinary man. Acts chapter 6. You know, most of you, some of you heard this last week, but most of you know anyway, that Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God was poured out onto humanity. You also know in Acts chapter 2 that it says towards the end there that they added 3,000 souls to the church that day, and every day the Lord was adding people to the church. People were becoming born again. Born of the Spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus back in John chapter 3. Not just born of the flesh anymore, but born of the Spirit. And they were adding to the church every day. Brings us to Acts chapter 6. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And so, when you read Acts chapter 2 and 3, you see some miraculous things. You see some very, very good things that perhaps we could learn from. But anyway, they're taking care of each other. They're taking care of each other in miraculous ways. And some of them felt, well, our widows are being a little neglected, so you need to do something about that. That's what is stated here. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. You see, they had their place. And yes, this was a part for the church to do, to help take care of these widows. But he said, we have got this role, and we're a little busy doing this right now. And so in verse 3, they said, therefore, friends, select from among you 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. That's the other task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip and the rest of those brethren that they chose that day. Verse 8. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now let me just interject here, brothers and sisters. This is an ordinary man. Thank you. This is an ordinary, everyday life kind of a guy. Just like us. You still with me? This is Stephen. This is not one of the 12. This is everyday. Everyday living. Everyday factory, farming, teaching, schooling, policeman, hospital, whatever you do, this is everyday life. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And while he was doing these great signs and wonders among the people, it upset some folks. You suppose if the church was full of the Holy Spirit of God today, and I mean genuinely full, and I mean genuinely from Monday through Saturday, not just for 60 minutes on Sunday morning, do you suppose it would upset some folks? You're not hearing me. Do you suppose if the Holy Spirit of God took up radical residence in me and you and the church across America that it would be noticed? I think it would. And if we take a radical stance for the Holy Spirit of God because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I think it may upset somebody. I think it may upset somebody. That's what Stephen did. He was speaking the truth in love because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and he made some waves. He made some waves in everyday work. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those of Cilicia and Asia stood up and argued with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. You see, friends, that's what happens when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. They cannot, okay, there's a few accusers. Okay, there's a little upset. There's some folks upset. But being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Why? because he was unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He was no longer powered by Stephen. He was powered by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what he wants to do in the church today. Amen? That's what God wants to do in the church today with everyday people. People that serve the elderly, people that serve the kids, people that serve in the fire department, people that serve in the factory, people that serve on the farm. That's what God wants to do in His church today with everyday people. Empower them with the Holy Spirit, but He won't do battle with you and I. We've got to get self out of the way before He's going to speak to us and use us and unleash the power of the Holy Spirit. Self has to go away. And that's what happened with Stephen. Everyday kind of a guy. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against God." And they stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. When they suddenly confronted him and seized him and brought him before the council, they set up false witnesses against him who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Glory to God. Has anybody said to you, brothers and sisters, lately, "I thought I seen an angel when I looked at you last"? Anybody? Maybe there's room for Holy Spirit power in us yet. That's what they said about Stephen when he went back to the factory that day, so to speak. His face looks like the face of an angel. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was no longer letting flesh lead him in everything he did. Acts 7. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" And Peter replied, "Brothers and sisters, listen to me." And for the next 50 verses, we don't have time to read this morning, but I encourage you to read it. Acts is a great book. I've encouraged you already in the last 3 weeks. Read Acts 1, read Acts 2. Now we're up to chapter 6 and 7. I'd encourage you to read it. Embrace the Holy Spirit of God, how He wants to empower the church today, unleashing His power on the church today. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about people of God. He wants to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit upon people today and change us into what Paul calls in the letter to the Corinthians, that new creation. And so for the next 50 verses, Stephen expounds on the scriptures to these religious elite. And he talks to them about Abraham and about Moses and about Solomon and about David and about Joshua. He quotes from two different prophets, Isaiah and Amos. For the next 50 verses, he's unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, "Jim, I couldn't do that because I don't know the Old Testament." If you have met Jesus in a personal way, you have a story to tell. Amen? If you have met the Master, you've got something to say. And for the next 50 verses, Stephen, who this waiter of tables, was filled with in unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he gets to chapter 7, verse 51, and he says this, unleashing the power. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit just as your ancestors used to do." Now listen to me, friends. These are the religious people of the day. And what Stephen said is dead accurate. You might say you believe in God. You might say you even went to the altar one time and prayed to God. You might want people to think you're all that because you got these white robes and you got your phylacteries stuck to your foreheads and all that. And he said, "You're doing nothing but opposing the Holy Spirit of God, religious people. Your religiosity isn't going to do you no good, Stephen said to the religious folks, because you're opposing the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, do you recall the conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3? He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Friends, this is a spiritual thing. And if we are opposing the Holy Spirit of God in life, we're just powered by Armstrong, we're just powered by ourselves, we're just molded by the world. If we are opposing the Holy Spirit like these were, we can say we're religious all day long and it don't mean nothing because we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And he said to these religious folks today, your religiosity doesn't mean anything. Because your life is opposing the Holy Spirit. One of our young men told me just the other day, he said, Jim, I'm talking to some friends on the Facebook. These friends say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I made an altar trip one time. I can do what I want. Because I know about God. Friends, that ain't what the Word says. That ain't what Stephen is saying to these religious people. If we're opposing the Holy Spirit of God, we're just letting the flesh take us wherever. That's not being Holy Spirit led. I ain't even sure that's born again. And I wonder today, how much are we opposing the Holy Spirit of God in everyday living? When God is calling upon you and I this direction, and we say, I'll just go ahead and take that direction. The world looks more fun. We are opposing the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Jim, the Holy Spirit, maybe he's kind of stuffy, and maybe that's just some old rule book. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. God has your best interest in mind. You believe it? God has your best interest in mind. Heaven is part of it, to be sure. But your health of mind, your health of body, your health of spirit. And when we oppose the Holy Spirit of God in everyday living because we think, oh, that's just some old rule book. Bear in mind always, He's got your best in mind. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And when His Son went back to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit of God here to guide us in life. He has your best in mind. And so this is not just some rule book or some book of suggestions. When He says to us, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He means it for our good. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you're forever opposing the Holy Spirit as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. 2 weeks ago, I told you of a couple pastors that were well known in the 1700s. They enraged a lot of folks. But they're led by the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah, I didn't set well. And maybe sometimes today the message doesn't set well. But brothers and sisters, if the Holy Spirit of God is prompting us in a direction, we best listen and take notice. Because the Holy Spirit of God has your best interest in mind. When they heard these things, they became enraged, and they ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Ghost, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a picture. And he said, look. Look. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they covered their ears, the Bible says. With a loud shout, they all rushed together at him. They dragged him out of the city. They began to stone him with stones, and the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. Stephen, an ordinary man, everyday living, everyday work. This was not the preacher, the pope, or the priest. This was an everyday man that loved the Lord Jesus and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he allowed the Holy Ghost to unleash his power within him. And it, well, this is where it got him. You say, Jim, I'm really not interested in being stoned. I'm telling you, friends, when you let the Holy Spirit of God lead you, flesh doesn't take things into our own hands. That's what happened with Stephen. The Holy Spirit of God led him all the way to glory. And so I want to challenge you. Time is already up, and I wanted to challenge you with just two words. One again from Scripture we saw, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation 2 for a verse. Here's our dilemma today, I fear. We can talk all the kind of religion we want to talk. We can show up at church and we can tell our neighbor or tell the preacher or tell the Pope, yeah, I believe in God. But if we are opposing the Holy Spirit of God in everyday living, friends, our spirits have not been connected. Because if our spirits have been born again in the Spirit, where it's not our tendency to oppose everything that God says. And so when Stephen said in 51, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit just as your ancestors used to do. I want to ask you today, friends, is your life opposing the Holy Spirit? Because if it is, it's time to surrender. He has your best in mind. I've referred to Revelation and the letters in the Revelations over the last 2 weeks as we've talked about the Spirit. I want to refer to one more letter just for one verse. Revelations 2, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. And just like the other letters we've looked at, the first thing he says, I know who you are. The words are, I know your works. I know what's in here. You might be fooling a few people around town, around the factory, might even be fooling a couple at church. God says, I know what's in here. That's how he starts this letter to the church at Ephesus also in Revelation chapter 2. And he says, he gives them a couple of attaboys, a couple of pat on the backs. And then in verse 4 he says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. That's him. That's Jesus. He said, you've abandoned your first love. In other words, you're going around life powered by Armstrong. You're doing things the way the world is doing them. You're doing things the way you think you have the freedoms to do. You've abandoned your first love. And then he says, remember from the heights from which you have fallen. You used to be madly in love with the Master. You used to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God, and it showed. And he said, now you need to wake up and remember, you've fallen from them heights. And the first thing he says to them is just like he did the other letters, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I'm coming to remove your lampstand. And so, friends, I'm just asking us today, as I asked us early on, do we even desire more of the Holy Spirit's filling? Do we even care? The Holy Spirit of God wants to live in you and reign in you and unleash the power of the living God in and through you and I in everyday people. But he's not going to battle you. He's not going to battle me. He's going to do it when we surrender. And I wonder today, friends, are there any evidences in your life of the Holy Spirit? Are we just going around with the attitude these friends of my young friends said, you know what? I know I believe in God and I prayed a prayer one time so I can do what I want. Friends, that's not being born again. Because when we're born again, it's a spiritual matter. And if you are here today and wondering, you know what, I believe I have a little more room for the Holy Spirit to take over. You want to come up to the altar and pray, please do that. Pastor Isaac is downstairs leading a class, but Pastor Les is here. Maybe I could ask him to come up to the front. And if you want to pray about the Holy Spirit unleashing His power in you, why don't you come pray with Pastor Les or pray at the altar here this morning. Friends, I'm not belittling anybody's salvation, because if you've been born again, you know it. You've been born again. But if you haven't been born again, if your spirit hasn't been connected to the Holy Spirit of God through your faith, your surrendered belief and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, you've not been born again. That's where we need to start. And if we've been born again, friends, the Holy Spirit of God wants to take up residence in you and unleash His power in you. This little song says, there's a wonder of sunset at evening. You ever watch one? You ever watch that beauty? The sun going down over the ocean or over the mountains. And this songwriter says, there's a wonder about that. That's a beautiful thing. The sun going down at sunset. There's a wonder at sunrise, I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. That's a fact, friends. God loves you so intently that His best, His one and only Son, went to the cross to die for your sin and mine and the sin of the whole world. That's how much He loves you. And not only did Jesus die, He shed His blood to atone for our sin, then He sent His Spirit to empower the church, to guide us into all truth. That's what Jesus prayed. He would guide us in all truth. And He said, my word is truth. And so, friends, God's Spirit wants to take up residence in you. God's Spirit wants to take up residence in the church and unleash the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what He wants. To glorify His great name, to point people to the cross and to repentance and salvation in Christ. We only do that when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God.